Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, public transport is underfunded in rural Ireland, with many living in the country completely dependent on their cars. But if you're a wheelchair user, getting around parts of the country is even trickier. Tracy Martin is on the line. Tracy, you're a wheelchair user and previously lived in Madrid independently for years. So how has it been returning to Ireland, and what are the differences that you've noticed?
Hi, Anna. Thanks so much for speaking with me. I've been paralysing for 37 years due to a car accident when I was 18. So over that period of almost four decades, I've seen, obviously my body has changed, but kind of accessibility and transport hasn't changed that much. You'll always find, I've found problems with accessibility in Madrid, in wherever I've lived, in Wicklow, and because you'll always come up against public transport is always accommodates the majority because that's how it has to. But when there are accommodations made, some half the time they're not working. And, we come up against this again and again with the Dart and all of the, with buses, and there's only one space on a bus. And I'm not really using buses because I'm in the middle of, I live in County Monaghan at the moment.
Okay.
I'm back here about 5 years. So public transport down here is pretty sketchy. So you're relying really on your car and stuff, and that is fine, but it becomes, over the last couple of years due to chronic pain and deterioration in my spine, I'm now using a power wheelchair. So I drove myself up until about 2 years ago. So now I'm not, so you're depending on someone else to drive you. So that takes it on a whole different angle as well.
So just to give listeners a picture of your journey, I suppose,
yeah,
Tracy,
yeah.
Due to a car accident, you were 18, were you?
I was 18, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. 37 years ago, tomorrow. Actually.
So 37 years you've been in a wheelchair,
yeah.
And obviously the wheelchairs have evolved over the years, but have the surroundings around you? I mean, most would expect they have.
Anna, they have to a certain degree. And I think, we're supposed to be so advanced and everything like that. But I mean, the reality of living day to day in a wheelchair, particularly if you're not in the Dublin area or in the city area, is you're constantly coming across barriers and things that are half done. Because the regulations, are the bare minimum. So even though they may meet the regulations, they don't suit a lot of wheelchair users. Like, you go into a bathroom, you can't turn around, you can't close the door behind you. It doesn't have grabber, this kind of stuff. But it'll do, because we have this attitude where, sure, it's grand, isn't it? And we're still getting away with that.
It's the stuff that we don't realise until, as you say, you've a lived experience of it.
Yeah.
So you would have gone from the traditional wheelchair that we're all familiar with, where you would drive as well as using that.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, no. Well, for about 35 years, I've lived, being paralysed from the chest down, I would have had a sports wheelchair, transferred into the car, took the wheelchair across me into the passenger seat, had hand controls in my car, and drove everywhere. So drove in Madrid, and drove, wherever I lived.
Okay.
But because of the deterioration in my spine now, I've had to move into a power wheelchair, which is a bigger, it's a much bigger piece of equipment. Now, it is possible still to get transport that you can drive from a power wheelchair, but I'm not in a position to do that at the moment, just financially. So I'm dependent on someone else to drive a van, which I, drive into.
So it's a bigger vehicle. If you were to maintain your independence with driving and use the power chair that is obviously needed at this stage, you need a completely different vehicle. Is that it?
Well, if I was to drive myself, I would, because you can get vehicles that are adapted. I mean, the technology is amazing. You get vehicles that are adapted and you can drive straight in your power wheelchair. They clamp it down, you have your hand controls. And I'm very lucky that I have use of my hand, so you can drive. And I've done that for years. But so that is still a possibility. So there are ways around all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I suppose, for me, I suppose part of the thing with aging and disability, which comes into it as well, is that, as we all know, as you age, the body kind of says no and the mind still says yes.
Of course.
And so, there's an adaptation to that as well, in that you know, you're more limited. Well, I feel, obviously, this is just my own story, that I'm more limited in what I can do now.
And Tracy, just paint a picture for me, because I'd love to know, you know, what a day looks like. You're going to meet a friend for a drink or in a restaurant. You know, obviously need to use the services, the bathrooms. How does all of that play out? And what things do we not notice?
I've been like this for 37 years. You know, when you're going to do something, it's this rigmarole of like, where has access? Where can you go? It's not where do you want to go? It's where can you go?
Okay.
It's like, do they have enough space in the place to turn around? Are you going to block the whole place? Are you going to be a fire hazard? Are you going to be like, and then are the bathrooms, if there are bathrooms, will they have all the cleaning equipment in them that you can't even get in, even if they are there? Will they actually be open, or will they be closed due to, you know, out of service, you know? Do they have a step outside, even though they're supposed to be accessible? Do they have a ramp? You know, you go through this whole thing of, by the time you get there, you're exhausted because you're so wrecked by
trying to figure it out. I'm exhausted just thinking about it, Tracy.
I'm exhausted listening to myself, and to be fair, at this point.
Incredible.
I try to laugh, but sometimes it's like, and I think near Dublin, you know, in that area, you know, you tend to have more accessibility because it has to be there, you know, by law and by regulation. But the further you come away from that, the more it seems to be kind of, actually, look, we'll do what we can, and within the budget, and we can't change that.
We'll figure something out, type of thing, off the cuff.
Well, yeah, and it's like,
that's not good enough.
Aren't you grand? There's a couple of places you can go, and sure, aren't you grand? And it is grand. Like, I'm not looking for, I don't expect the world to revolve around me, because it won't, and it doesn't revolve about anybody. But I just, sometimes I feel, like I went somewhere the other day, and it's an effort to go now. You kind of have to psych yourself up for it because of chronic pain and because of all the other stuff. And then this isn't the sob story, it's just reality.
Mm.
And you kind of go, and then I thought, right, I need to go to the bathroom. And I went in, and there wasn't a separate, the building isn't very old, but there wasn't a separate disability access bathroom. It was a general one. So, and then when you went in, you couldn't close the door behind you. And then the people behind you were queuing up behind you. And then you were thinking, and there was no grab rails, and there was no, and the sink is tiny, and you're thinking, and then you're so stressed by the time you come out, you think, why did I bother going? Do you know?
Of course.
And it just ruins the whole thing, because you just think, why does it have to be this difficult?
It's such an ordeal. Stay with me, Tracy, because I have another question I want an answer on, just something that I'm interested in. Bernard Mulvaney from Access for All Ireland is on the line. Bernard, what are the biggest challenges facing wheelchair users? I'm sure you're not surprised to hear Tracy's lived experience.
No, hi Anna, thanks for having me on now. For sure, absolutely. I mean, this is where our campaign first began, was the fact that public transport in Ireland is so inaccessible for people with disabilities. My daughter is a wheelchair user, the co-founder of the campaign, he himself is a wheelchair user, and it's through a really bad experience he had that the group formed, and we began advocating and sort of fighting and protesting around the lack of inclusive, accessible public transport for people with disabilities. Now, whatever about the city, it is difficult enough at times in and around cities like Dublin, Cork, Galway, issues with, you know, only one person being able to travel on a bus, if you can get a bus. You know, we do have some good stuff like the Lewis, but once you go outside the cities, you are literally on your own. Mm. It's actually quite unbelievable. I mean, I don't think people fully realise like that you have to give 24 hours notice if you want to travel on a bus from county to county. You have to give those 24 hours notice so that it can have the bus ready for to accommodate you. But if it's a private operator, you have to give 48 hours notice.
I don't think people realise that stuff at all, Bernard.
No,
can I just ask Tracy a quick question just before we have to wrap up here? Tracy, can I ask you, people say to you regularly, do you need a licence for that? Or, you know, little quips about the size of your power chair.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
And you know, people are just trying to, you know, people probably don't know what to say. So it becomes quite, you know, it's a break the ice thing, and it's kind of like, it is a joke. But sometimes you're just like, if I had a euro for every time somebody said that to me, I would be, you know, I would be in the Bahamas. I would be wherever I am. Because it just, and it becomes, It does grate a wee bit after a while because, you know, as you live with this for so long, like someone actually said this to me the other day and I nearly fell over. She said, you know, wouldn't it be great now if someone who everyone who lost their license could get one of those? And I just, for that moment.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew it was a place out of innocence and not any harm. Mm. But I just thought, where did that even come from? You know, like, where, what sense?
Yeah.
You know, where, like, there was no logic. Now, it was an innocent question and it was a, you know, like a random probably thing that came into her head and there was no malice in it. But sometimes you're just fielding things the whole time because people say things like, they seem to feel they have the right to kind of say, what happened to you and where and how and how long. You know, it's very, you know, it feels like you have to always be answering questions. And
yeah, it's wearing. Yeah,
it
I understand.
After a while. No, I'm used to it, kind of, it's over my head at this point, but...
No, we need to check ourselves, and that's why I wanted to ask you the question, Tracy. We'll pick up this topic again, no doubt. I'd love to spend the day with you just to see the amount of barriers that are in your way in terms of just moving around, you know, having a normal, living your life. But that's Tracy Martin. Thank you very much for joining us, Tracy, and Bernard Mulvaney from Access All Ireland on the line as well. Thank you to both of you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.